Coming up in a few minutes, Seth has a story within Mad Takes that I'm very curious to see how he is going to pull off. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup Final. They beat Winnipeg in Game 5, so they have made the Stanley Cup Final, and they'll face the winner of Tampa and the Washington Capitals. The reason I bring it up is this Las Vegas team is an expansion team, so I ask you, Seth, as someone who's been on an expansion team, why did the Texans in 2002 not win the AFC? This team has disgraced the 2002 Texans. How do you feel about that?
This disgrace the Houston Texans? What about like every other expansion team in the history
of
everything?
Them too.
I have no clue. Like what the hell you're even asking? Why wouldn't have? We had a rookie quarterback with no good offense. We had one or two good offensive linemen, but then a bunch of rookies starting. Like Chester Pitts would go on to become a good offensive lineman.
Indeed.
But he was just a rookie. Chester Pitts had been playing like 3 years of organized football total by the time he started playing football as a walk-on in college, had never played before. He's starting for the Houston Texans. We had another couple of great guys. Great guys.
But a rookie quarterback.
Nonetheless, we had six rookies starting on offense. Six rookies in the National Football League starting on offense.
I'm good.
And then several other journeymen who wouldn't be starting on any other team in the NFL to boot. You're going to ask me why did we that? That's why. Because we had too many rookies on offense. My God.
I'm obviously being facetious here. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for the NHL that a team that is an expansion team goes so far in the playoffs? I think it's a good thing because people are talking about it, and they also have a lot of buzz in Las Vegas, where my thought when they put a team in Las Vegas was, are we sure that people in Las Vegas are going to support a hockey team? Clearly the case is, yes, they support the hockey team.
Yeah, and it's good things for Oakland, I would think. The Raiders have got to be looking at the situation with the hockey team there this year and just licking their chops. I think it's a lot more people to fill up in a stadium, obviously, but I think they'll fill it. They'll pull it off. Excuse me for a second while I scroll through something, because I've got issues here. When Charlie Morton faced off against Mike Clevenger on Friday, some of the storylines revolving around the Indians facing the Astros were that, you know, Trevor Bauer had made some comments insinuating that perhaps the Astros and Gerrit Cole were using pine tar. And they didn't let up because two things happened. One is Bauer made some kind of donation to Lance McCullers' charity as part of some program he's doing.
Yep.
But within the tweet where he announced it, he said that Lance's charity helps get pets out of sticky situations, which is the most weirdly passive aggressive act in the midst of doing something. Like he was cloaking himself. He was building himself an armor of charity, being like, well, I'm doing something nice here, so nobody can criticize me for that. Then I'm going to take a shot at the Astros while I'm doing it. Lance responded by basically saying that we're going to take that money and donate it to another charity.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the tweet.
He tweeted it out on his own. But I think it had something to do with like where Lance was, how they're handling donations anyway. I don't know if that was definitely a shot. Oh, no, but okay, I think Tyler. What did he say? Read Lance's response.
Tyler, thanks for the exposure. Also, we'll be redonating your funds to another local Houston charity since you love us so much, ! Tag your charity below.
Yeah. So did he do that?
I mean, I guess so. It is. I gotta give Trevor Bauer credit.
Trevor, why?
Well, no. Here's why. Because now Trevor Bauer's Twitter name is Trevor Tyler Bauer.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
But Trevor's still trying to make a joke out of it. Where I feel like Lance McCullers is still taking it really seriously. Like it looked like he was out for blood last night.
So Lance does not want his money. Is Lance, what it comes down to.
Yeah, your money's no good here, but he's saying it in the negative way.
Your money's no good here.
But Clevenger, after the game, says this. There's not much room for error. They are pretty loaded top to bottom. We are right there from top to bottom. We're right there with them. There's not anything they have that we don't have. They aren't that special, Clevenger said of the Astros lineup. What is it with these Indians? What is it with this 500 baseball team that's feeling themselves because they're at the top of a crappy division that somehow they're continually taking these shots at the Astros?
I will actually defend Clevenger from this standpoint. If I was in Cleveland, I would like to hear one of the players saying this, because after last night's loss, the Indians are a game below 500. And as you can see, like they're a team that should that is talented enough to where they should be playing at a much better rate. Now, it's probably unnecessary to use the words, you know, they aren't that special, but clearly within the full context, he's saying the Astros are really good, and I think the point that I'd make if I was in Cleveland would be, hey, our team is pretty talented. We should now be playing far inferior baseball to the Astros so far this season.
Yeah.
That's kind of my read on
it. But you don't have to say it that way now, do you?
That's
now,
true.
Do you? They aren't that special, which, hey, might be true that the lineup hasn't been all that special.
It has not been that special
but
yet.
But still, you don't have to say it. Now, more fuel for the fire.
So Peter King of the MMQB has his final Monday morning quarterback for Sports Illustrated this morning. He wrote like this long thing. They posted photos of him finishing the column, and it is the most widely read NFL column of, you know, the week, the year, that sort of thing. But I think they're making too big of a deal about this because Peter King is leaving Sports Illustrated for NBC, in which he'll also be writing the same exact column for NBC. So I don't think this is some sort of like unbelievably monumental thing. Like people will be able to get this in a different place coming up in, you know, X amount of months.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I don't know. I'm with Landry in terms of people acting. I think that Landry was portraying it like people were writing obituaries for Peter King or something. Like it was this overly emotional thing. I think it was more just that Peter King and Sports Illustrated were almost like a singular unit for a long time. And you thought of Monday Morning Quarterback as like, that's where you went to Sports Illustrated on Mondays during the season. And he kind of was the pulse of the NFL. And that is to be no more. So I think people were mourning the loss of that more than anything else. Everything has changed. And that's the way we are with the media world and sports media these days. And frankly, sports media has gotten really bad. Like the whole talk radio, newspapers, websites, everything. It's really bad because you've got about seven people out there writing original things, and then everybody else just aggregating stuff off of it. And
I think you're being too negative.
It turns into a huge telephone game thing. Mike, when I compile these mad takes in the mornings, a lot of times I have to do like a deep dive into figuring out who actually did the original content. Because what'll happen is like Pro Football Talk will find this article on Roto World, and they'll credit Roto World for this news about Tom Brady.
But
I'm like, wait a second. But I go back to Roto World, and Roto World got it from the Big Lead, and then the Big Lead actually got it from TMZ, and then I'm looking at the original report from like say TMZ, and it sounds nothing like what they're saying in Pro Football Talk. Nobody even gives a damn anymore.
Peter King
would actually go there and talk to the people and write something original about it.
Peter King did not write anything about the Texans this morning in Monday Morning Quarterback.
What a fraud. Curious.
But because if he would have, I would have mentioned the show, but he did not write anything about Houston this morning.
Have you guys heard about this? Did you guys hear about Sandra Bullock's penis facial?
Did you
hear about this?
I read the story that
did you?
Yes.
The big, so apparently it's not, listen everybody, get your minds out of the gutter.
Yes.
That's not what you're thinking. It's this microneedling technique that apparently is huge in Hollywood now. Her and that crazy looking English lady,
Kate Blanchett,
are doing this. It's a facial that boosts collagen by doing all this stuff with an epidermal growth factor and whatnot. But the serum that they apply to the face is an extraction from a piece of skin that came from a young person far, far away.
Why does it make a difference how far they are?
As DeGeneres bluntly points out, the EGF is derived from the foreskin of a Korean baby.
Again, why does it matter?
Why does it matter if it's a Korean baby? Maybe there's something genetic or something going on. Like maybe there's a certain excretion in Korean foreskin that you don't necessarily find in American foreskin. Okay. So is it easier to go over there and get foreskins from Korean babies? There are more Korean foreskins to choose from over there than over here. And there's less likely.
Okay.
So there's that. Maybe it's just cheaper. At first, you think, like, it sounds when you first hear it like you're taking advantage of
newborn babies.
For one, well, you have to remember that South Korea is not a third world country. I think Friebel's first instinct is like, well, you're taking advantage of third world. Well, no. They bank. They make some. Look it up on your Samsung. They're doing pretty damn well. But I think that it's also foreskins. These are skins that weren't going to be used anyway.
Yes.
Like these are discarded foreskins.
So this is
What are they using them for anyway, if not this? I would much rather have the women of America looking lovely and pretty than just to discard all these foreskins in some dumpster in South Korea.
So I guess this is one of those things where like you take something and you just basically don't think about exactly what's inside. And you just think about the effects it's going to have on you.
Well, they're extracting it from the foreskins.
Yes.
Oh, shoot, I eat natural hot dogs. all the time. That's though. An intestine. Like that's what. Well, would I rather have a Korean foreskin on my face, or would I rather have like a pig skin in my belly? I'd rather take the foreskin to the face.
Save that, please. Yeah. Thank you very much. Save that. Shohei Ohtani says that he would basically, well, he said that he...
Mike, yep. You racist bastard. He is not Korean. He's Japanese.
He is Japanese.
My God. He was. Yeah, we're going to sit here and you're going to do that. I'm just joking. Go
ahead. He was asked about participating in the home run derby in July, and he thinks that he doesn't think he's at that level yet, but he is honored to be in that conversation. Ohtani pitched well on Sunday, struck out 9 over 7 2/3. As a hitter, 84 bats as a DH, Ohtani has hit 6 home runs, including 1 home run on Thursday. So this is one of those where objectively he would not be in the home run derby.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you're baseball, you would definitely want this to happen because you would get more eyeballs to the set watching Ohtani in the home run derby.
He's got star appeal. He's driving some clicks. He's a sensation. Has he been good for baseball? Have you seen any ratings on or articles on the ratings for Angels games and whatnot? I know they're huge in China.
I have not.
Excuse me, in Japan.
The tough thing for baseball is they need to. I don't know if they've gotten Ohtani actually pitching in any of their national TV broadcasts,
yeah.
And because that's kind of hard to line up, and they're not usually sure how far you know away that he's actually going to pitch.
It seems like basketball has just made such a push internationally. Do you know off the top of your head, have you ever read an article about this? Is baseball still more popular in total internationally than basketball in terms of people that participate and whatnot?
No, I think basketball is definitely
basketball? Basketball's global, overtaken yes. It, really?
Well,
really?
Basketball, if you go, basketball is played basically everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much it's played in India and some of those places, but basketball.
Well, India, it's catching on in India. India, I never know what to make of it because you read about these thousands of kids playing basketball in India, but then you also remember that there are a billion people in India.
Yeah.
It's big in China. We know, you know what? Just by virtue of being big in China and India, it's almost got to be bigger than any other sport.
I would think at this point, basketball is second to soccer when it comes to overall global popularity.
YouTube helps basketball a lot more, too, in terms of global popularity, just because kids sit down and they're watching highlights on YouTube of NBA games. It's just fun no matter what. Like baseball, it's not as appealing to sit down and watch YouTube.
How do the Rockets change the momentum and the mojo from last night's catastrophe into game 4 tomorrow night? And what happened last night? Tim Bontemps from the Washington Post, the national NBA writer, he will join us at 9:20 this morning. I'm upset about a few things happening this weekend. 9:30 for the meltdown. And we grade a Boomer Sports Minute in 60 seconds.